food touches us all, and food distribution is not equal. And greenhouses can help with that. And there are many, many nonprofits these days that help build greenhouses in inner cities or in areas where people need the food and can grow it themselves.
They live on a farm. It's a very strange world we live in, where people who are even growing food don't have access because they're selling their corn or whatever crops they're growing to, they have contracts, or it's not even being made into food. So they're not eating that food. And then their soil is so depleted, they can't even really manage a garden, nor do they have the time. And then there's no grocery stores nearby.
Welcome to Mindful Businesses, presented by Sarani, and I'm your host, Vidya Iyer. In our podcast, we bring to you brands which are mindful in their practices and processes. A mindful business adopts and employs sustainable social, economic, and environmental practices. Today, we have with us Mark Blinke, founder of Ceres Greenhouse Solutions, designing for a better future. Joining us, along with Mark, is Miriam Schaefer, Marketing and Communications Specialist. Welcome, Mark and Miriam.
Thank you, Vidya.
Thank you.
Such a pleasure. I'm looking so forward to speaking with you.
So I grew up in Mumbai, India, and Mumbai is a big city comparable to New York City. The maximum farming or gardening that I did or was exposed to was some basic herbs that I grew in a window plant or a window pot. Explain to me where our food comes from.
Yeah, happy to do that. So, you know, let's leave Mumbai out for a minute because I don't know the numbers on that, even though my wife is from Hyderabad, not so far from you.
Really?
And we go to Mumbai a lot, so I know a lot about Mumbai, but not about the farming part. This average food in the US comes from about 1,500 miles away. And so that, of course, depends. If you're living in California and Florida, that may be a little closer in average, but it still comes from far away. And I think I got into this business. Really, this is my third career, and I have been a lot of fun as a chemical engineer. And I owned a company before this one. It was a chemical engineering company. And then before that, I worked for W.L. Gore, and we'll may talk a little bit about that. But I had this dream of living in a net zero energy house. That was my dream. And I said, well, only the very rich people can afford that. And then we moved to Boulder and we bought a house, and I looked at that and I was like, we can change this. I can do this. And so we built a net zero energy house. So we remodeled it to do that. Actually, it's not net zero, it's net positive. And several of these people that evaluate these things think that at the time that we were done, probably one of the 10 most energy efficient houses in the US. Out of a remodel of a 1961 house.
When was this?
That was in 2007. And so one of the people that I worked with coming up with quadruple pane windows is like, you know, Mark, so what, you know, you have a net zero house and you have a plug-in car. Where does your food come from? And the answer I gave, which was tongue-in-cheek, is like, from the grocery store, which I knew that is not correct. And he said, well, obviously the average food distance in most of the US is these 1,500 miles. It means it comes from all over, and especially to Colorado, where you have a very short growing season. That's a major concern. And he asked, well, have you ever thought about greenhouses? And so I thought, yeah, technically, yes. And I think they're all really still built the same way they were built 100 years ago. And none of the principles that we just used in this house to make it so energy efficient are actually used. And we could actually use them. He said, and guess what? We have a grant from the USDA. Why don't we build one together? And so, you know.
So who was this person? So why was he questioning you?
His name is Dr. Larry Kinney. He is a lifetime researcher. At the time he brought this up to me, he was about 70 years old. And he has been a very prominent energy efficiency expert in the US, writing memos that President Carter read and others about creating a more sustainable future. And he was impressed with what I did and said, hey, you know, you want to help me and build this greenhouse? And by the way, you want to become CEO of my company? And so I said, sure, we can try this. I had nothing else to do, just sold my last company and said, well, let's do something completely out of my comfort zone. And so we started working on that. And we got some really good ideas. And we built a greenhouse with the USDA grant that was really the most energy efficient greenhouse that I ever have seen. It wasn't necessarily the most commercially viable one, but it gave us all the information that we needed to then start thinking about first backyard kits, which was the first idea, you know, have built greenhouses in people's backyards so that they can grow all year long with minimal energy use. And then after a while, and we got better and better at that, we thought, okay, now let's build commercial structures. And then we got into the commercial side.
When you talk about greenhouses, I'm thinking of something which can control the environment, right?
Yes. The greenhouses, or this industry as a whole, is called controlled environmental agriculture. And so we're trying to basically allow those plants to grow under optimum conditions all year long.
We are thinking about, say, growing tomatoes in winter in Colorado in a greenhouse. But even in, say, Florida or some other places where they have pretty temperate weather all year round, there are crops which are destroyed due to unseasonable weather conditions, like, say, an early frost or a flood in Alabama, Louisiana. How much of the crops are destroyed in our country because of that?
I do not know the number of crops that get destroyed by the circumstances, the weather, etc. I do know, or at least believe to know, that we can grow about 10 times more food in a controlled environment than we can grow outdoors, just because of the duration. Now, of course, that's not the same. That ratio is not necessarily the same in Minnesota than it is in Florida. But in Florida, you have other issues like hurricanes that can destroy crops on a large scale. And so the beautiful thing is about greenhouses is that you can actually build greenhouses strong enough to withstand hurricanes. And so you allow to take out the big risks that farmers otherwise have, right? You always hear of farmers running into one disaster after the other and the whole crop for the year is gone. Well, if you have a greenhouse, that really doesn't happen.
How does a greenhouse control it? I've seen structures which are glass on all sides to let the light in and maybe an irrigation system.
Yeah, this is, I think, the part where we made the first changes to how these greenhouses were built. In the normal greenhouses, really, what you're seeing is you have a plant, imagine the plant standing somewhere in the open, and you build a greenhouse, which is usually an elongated structure, and that is usually oriented from north to south. In the morning, you have the sun coming in from the east. In the daytime, it comes in through the roof from the south. And in the afternoon, it comes in from the west, just like it would do when the plant would be just standing there. And the beautiful thing about that is you have basically the same amount of light that the plant would have otherwise, but you have to reduce the amount of light that the absorption of the glazing material, if it is glass, it takes about 10% per layer. It could be some plastic, whatever. Those glazing materials take a little bit of the light away, and the steel structure that you use or the wood structure will take light away. So in reality, that plant will probably get somewhere in the range of 75% of the light that it would otherwise get, which is not a problem at all in the summer when you have lots of light and you have plenty of light. That's not a problem. In the winter, though, you have a problem because that greenhouse cannot really be insulated because it would take away the light significantly either on the morning or in the afternoon. So you can't really insulate that structure. And so you have a very highly often leaking structure, but more importantly, the R value, the insulation value of the glazing material is rather poor. And so that greenhouse will have to be heated significantly at nighttime. And in the daytime, even in the middle of the winter, because the sun is so intense, it will overheat. So you actually need to take the heat and bring it outside of the structure. And so this is kind of somewhat, I'm going to say, perverse, right? In the daytime, you have too much heat. In the nighttime, you don't have enough heat. So what would be the natural thing to do is like, okay, I want to collect the sun that I, and the energy that I get during the daytime, store it inside the greenhouse for nighttime use. And that's a part of what we do. That's the trick, the engineering of all of this is, how do I store that heat? And there are two wonderful ways to do that. One of them is by storing it in the soil itself, right? Find a way to put the heat in the soil, or find a way to put it into water. Both of those are wonderful ways to store the energy. And so that's a great way to use the energy you're getting at night. But so the alternative to building greenhouses this way was, you know, as I explained to you, we have this net zero energy house that we built, and it's all about collecting the sun at the right time and actually use it as a solar collector. So what we do, we turn the greenhouse 90 degrees, build it from east to west, and have the glazing only go to the south. That means the sun from the south will bring all the heat into the greenhouse, and none of that sun actually will go out. On the north side, we put a solid wall that is highly insulated.
Oh, interesting.
So now half your greenhouse is insulated, the half is open. And in the section that is open, the beautiful thing is that any light that comes in is basically getting intensified.
So your greenhouse is glass three sides, primarily?
Between one and three sides. So it's either, if you're going very further to the north, it becomes only one side south, because we want to insulate as much as possible. So if you're talking Alaska or somewhere of the First Nations in Canada or Native Americans in the US, in the Northern Territories, you want to really insulate very well.